fourth and last argument of the morning is DACA number 25-1594, Clark versus Collins. Mr. Jones?
Yes, sir.
Okay, please begin.
We are ready. May it please the court. I don't know if it would be helpful, but primarily we're going to be going over the on APPX 87, which is the actual notice of disagreement that the veteran filed in January 2008.
Well, counsel, could you start by telling us why you believe we have jurisdiction in this case?
Yes. Okay. What we're talking about here is a generalized statement of medical problems that happened while enlisted in the Navy. Is it sufficient to basically state that there is a notice of disagreement? First of all, as we pointed out in our brief, typically notice of disagreements are reviewed on a de novo basis, which is usually resolved around legal issues. Number two is the way that the board analyzed it and the Court of Appeals affirmed it is that they recognized that the veteran is making a generalized statement that his medical problems arose while in the service,
isn't whether or not something is a notice of disagreement really just the application of law to fact?
Well, I think that you are getting to the question of whether or not something, you know, what exactly is an expression of disagreement or dissatisfaction, which could make it then a legal issue.
Well, haven't we held that the determination of what the notice of disagreement disagrees with is a question of fact, or at least an application of law to fact, that the Veterans Court may have jurisdiction to review, but we don't?
Okay. Well, I think that number one, as we pointed out in our brief, you get into the question of whether or not something is legally sufficient, which of course I guess could be something that this court could.
That sounds like application of law to fact. I mean, let's just assume that I'm right about the precedent, that we've held in the context of notice of disagreement that we can't review the Veterans Court determination that a notice of disagreement did not raise a certain issue. Then doesn't that leave us without jurisdiction in this case?
If the court believes that, then unfortunately, you know, for my case, that would be the case if that is something that you would hold.
Well, I think we've already held that. That's the problem, is what the four corners of the notice of disagreement document says and what it contests is at best an application of law and sometimes a question of fact, because it's looking at what a particular document says. It's not a legal document. I mean, it's legal document. I misspoke. It's not a legal determination of what the document says. It's what the document is actually saying.
I mean, essentially my argument is we would disagree with it for the reasons that I stated with earlier. So that would be my argument there. If that's kind of what the court is kind of leaning.
I understand your argument is that the veteran expressed a general displeasure with the benefits he was awarded here and he wanted to further contest them and the like. He can make that argument to the board and he can make it to the Veterans Court. And the Veterans Court said, no, this wasn't sufficient to raise a challenge to the whatever issue we're talking about here, the service connection. I think that it's clear from the face, at least sufficiently clear to the Veterans Court, that all he was challenging was the pension aspect because he was referencing income and the like. That's a question for the Veterans Court to make. You want us to determine as a matter of law that this document makes a broader challenge?
I think that if you take a look at
that's the problem. Every answer you're giving me has me go back and look at the actual document, and instead of just saying, as a matter of law, this is what the document says. And if you're asking me to look at what the document says, then we're in the realm of facts or application of law to fact.
Well, that's probably true. It could be a question of what would constitute a disagreement or dissatisfaction, but you probably would be correct. It probably would still be looking at the factual basis, and if that would be the case, then that's the case.
Anything else, counsel?
I don't think so, Your Honor. We made our arguments. We tried to fit them in the best way that we could. So.
Okay. Thank you. Let's hear from the other side.
I just wanted to appreciate your time. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. There is no dispute over what the law requires for a notice of disagreement. This Court's precedents in Mayer and Morrison, which are unpublished, but go specifically to the question of notice of disagreement and whether something is an application of law to fact, directly answer the question here. And likewise, the Court's published decisions in Ellington and Bonner are cases that discussed the interpretation of a claimant's scope of their claim. And the Court said in those decisions that determination of the interpretation of the filing is one that is clearly one that looks only to the application of law to fact, which rests beyond this Court's jurisdiction.
What's the limits of that? I mean, I understand your jurisdictional arguments, and, you know, I think our precedent is fairly clear on it, but what happens if you've got the same kind of, you know, benefits and pension sides, or service-connected disability and pension sides, and the veteran says in the notice of disagreement specifically, I want to appeal both of these determinations, and then in the body of it concentrates more fully on one than the other. But there's a clear statement at the top, and the board and the Veterans Court just completely get it wrong and say, well, they only really discuss this one side of it, and so the notice of disagreement wasn't sufficient to raise both issues. But it's clear from the plain language, the very first sentence, that the veteran wants to appeal both. Do we have any role in reviewing that?
I think the first limits that I would point the Court to, Your Honor, are whether the Veterans Court actually made some sort of legal interpretation when it was making that finding. If so, and if that legal interpretation were inconsistent with this Court's precedent, certainly that would be a basis for this Court to sit to review. Likewise, if the Veterans Court had...
So maybe in that case we could say the Veterans Court applied the improper legal standard by looking at one specific paragraph or the focus of the notice of disagreement and ignoring the plain language of the first sentence.
I think if the Veterans Court had issued some sort of legal interpretation that were inconsistent with this Court's precedent, certainly, yes, that would be fair ground for this Court to review. But that's not what happened here. The Veterans Court was very clear that it recognized that a notice of disagreement can be broad, such that it sufficiently covers everything. But if it is specific as to a particular issue, then that specificity cabins the scope of the notice of disagreement. That is fully consistent with this Court's precedents. And for that reason, we would ask that the Court dismiss this appeal for lack of jurisdiction.
In Colorado, we did find jurisdiction in that case, right?
I'm afraid I'm not familiar with Colorado.
That's a case where the nod was deemed to be very vague as to what of the many issues the claimant was disagreeing with and appealing. And I think the board and Veterans Court concluded that, he was likely appealing only part of the things that were adverse to him. And then we held, no, when you have a rather vague nod, that it should be treated as a notice of disagreement to all adverse rulings against the claimant.
I don't have Colorado in front of me, but I suspect what was at issue in that case, as well as in Maggott and Ledford, which are two of these this court's other precedents, is that the issue in that case was a matter of the Veterans Court's jurisdiction. In other words, whether there had been an NOD that had sufficiently presented a claim that the Veterans Court then had jurisdiction to review. And Ledford specifically addressed this. It said, a matter of the Veterans Court's jurisdiction is a matter of statutory interpretation. And because it's a matter of statutory interpretation, that is something that this court can review. But we have a very different set of circumstances in which the NOD here arises, which is it's not a question of the Veterans Court's jurisdiction, but rather it arose in the context of determining the correct effective date for a claim. And that brings us squarely back to the Mayer and Morrison cases that we cited in our papers, which specifically go to the notice of disagreement. It also brings us back to the Ellington and Bonner cases, which are published decisions from this court, saying that when we're interpreting a claimant's scope of filings for purposes of determining the right effective date, that is pure application of law to fact. I'm happy to answer any other questions the panel may have, but otherwise we would ask that the court dismiss the appeal for lack of jurisdiction.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Does the court have any more questions for me?
No.
We have our arguments as to why we think that the court would have jurisdiction. We express those in the brief. So, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. The case is submitted.